Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
So awesome to be back in the jungle. This program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thank goodness, finally, Labor Day weekend. No more garbage in the NFL. No more nonsense with the preseason. Thankfully, we can say it's time for regular season football. Week one coming up on Thursday with, of course, Green Bay and Chicago. I'm really excited about the lineup today because we're going to talk a lot of college football. We're going to talk a lot of NFL. Kevin Harlan from CBS and, of course, does the NBA on TNT is going to be with us in hour number one. Hour number two, Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com to talk both about college football and the NFL. Then Brett McMurphy at the top of the third hour, the college football insider for Stadium Network. And we're going to close the show today with Isaiah Thomas as he tries to make the comeback from being really at the top of the ladder just a few years ago with the Boston Celtics and has now found a home with the Washington Wizards. We're going to have Isaiah Thomas come on towards the close of the third hour. We're going to reflect on what his life has been like the last couple of years. You can always call the show, 800-636-8686. You can email the show, rome@haveittake.com. All right, let's get right to college football. Now, I don't know what you take out of last night's Clemson game. They're playing Georgia Tech. All right. As a matter of fact, if you look at the top three teams, and with maybe the exception of next week when Clemson takes on Texas A&M, there are only two games, maybe three games the whole year that you're like, okay, I absolutely have to watch those games. Clemson's got Texas A&M coming up next week. That's a huge game. All right, we already have started the Heisman watch, have we not? Trevor Lawrence last night. A lot of people think he's going to win the Heisman. He didn't have a great game. 13 of 23, 168 yards, touchdown and two interceptions. How about Travis Etienne? 12 carries, 205 yards, three touchdowns as Clemson rolls over Georgia Tech. I don't know about you. The one game that I'm watching this weekend, and I watched a little bit of the games last night. I was traveling to get down here from Sacramento. But that Oregon-Auburn game tomorrow at Jerry's World, to me, is the one game this weekend that has the most intrigue. Now, I'm going to talk to Chris Landry and Brett McMurphy about this because I think of Oregon, who right now is a top-ranked team. They're right there. If they have any hopes of ending up in the college football playoff, they cannot go into Dallas and lose to Auburn with a true freshman at quarterback. All right? They have Justin Herbert. We know how great he is. When you look at other college quarterbacks, he's certainly in the conversation to win the Heisman. He's the man. The question for Oregon, are they going to be able to protect him with that outstanding defensive line that Auburn has? So to me, that game has a lot of intrigue. What would it say for Oregon if they cannot beat Auburn with a true freshman quarterback? Here's the other aspect of this game. This is a huge game for the Pac-12 conference. They're down right now. They are way down. I mean, you got to go back to Jake Browning of the Washington Huskies when they made it to the college football playoff and they lost to Alabama in the semifinals. This is a big game for respect, for credibility. If Oregon goes into Dallas and loses this game tomorrow, you know what the narrative's going to be. Oh, the Pac-12, they're still down. Oh, they can't beat any good teams from other conferences, blah, blah, blah. This game is not only really big for Oregon, it's a huge game for the Pac-12 conference. So we'll talk a little bit about that as the show goes on. Again, 800-636-8686. All right, another day. Another issue with the Dallas Cowboys, although it is the same issue day in, day out, and oh yeah, it's Ezekiel Elliott. Last night, the Cowboys wrapped up their preseason at home to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And where there is a microphone, there is Jerry Jones after the game. This is what he had to say about his running back.
I'm operating as though right now it's going to miss regular season games. My entire expectation for what we're putting together as a team right now would anticipate, with him holding out and not having made any training camp, that he's going to miss preseason, that he's going to miss games.
All right. More of Jerry Jones on Ezekiel Elliott.
We need Zeke, and we'll use him. When we get him, it'll be that much better for the Cowboys. But if we don't have him, we're going to go out there and play winning football.
All right, have you looked at the schedule for the Dallas Cowboys in their first 3 weeks? Week one, the Giants at home. Giants defense is awful. Their linebackers are among the worst in the NFL. The Giants are without their number one receiver in Golden Tate. They're without their number three receiver, who got hurt basically in the first day of practice, is out for the year. They are not going to beat the Dallas Cowboys with or without Ezekiel Elliott unless the Cowboys turn the ball over three or four times. The Giants' defense is not going to be able to stop the Dallas Cowboys enough to win that game. That's week one. You don't need Elliott. All right, week two, you go to Washington. Their defense is much better than the Giants, obviously. But do anyone out there think that Washington is going to beat the Cowboys? And by the way, I'm not thinking the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender like some. I don't see that. Not with Dak Prescott as your quarterback. I don't see it. I just don't see how that's going to happen. Then week three, you're home to Miami. I can put Hawk in at running back, all right? They're going to beat Miami. That's without your Mariners hat on, by the way. We'll put a helmet on. But seriously. So let's just say that the Cowboys don't have Ezekiel Elliott for the first three games. What happens if Dallas wins those three games? Which they very well could win without Elliott. I would think their biggest challenge would be at Washington just because of their defense. They can put pressure on the quarterback. They're very good at the back end. I think Landon Collins is going to be great for them. Let's say they get by Washington and come home and they still don't have Elliott and they've got Miami. By the way, Miami naming Ryan Fitzpatrick their quarterback. I'm not surprised. He'll be the quarterback until he gets hurt. He'll probably play well and then he'll be out. And next year, he'll be with another team. That's how Ryan Fitzpatrick's career goes. But when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, what a circus this is. And I'll say, I don't normally defend Jerry Jones, but I think he is 100% correct here. You've got a player that's got 2 years left on his deal who's not reporting to work. You're going to reward Ezekiel Elliott with a new contract when you have a quarterback who's looking for a new deal and a wide receiver in Amari Cooper. They have been there from day one. They are with the team. We all know that the contract negotiations are going on, but they're still doing their job. How if you're Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, how on earth can you give Elliott a new deal before you take care of the other guys? Now, if the reports are true, I think they've done exactly what they should do with Dak Prescott. They've actually overpaid for him if the reports are true. I don't care what the market is. Are you telling me that Dak Prescott is a $35 million a year quarterback? Come on, stop it. People go, well, gee, look at the numbers. They're better than this. They're better than that. You know what? My eyes tell me he's not a $35 million a year quarterback. How many times do you turn on the Cowboys games and you hear the analyst talking about how he missed this guy, overthrew that guy, underthrew this guy? Did Amari Cooper change that offense last year? Obviously he did. Did he make Dak Prescott a better quarterback? Yes. But is Dak Prescott a $35 million a year quarterback? Ask yourself this question. If Dak Prescott left the Dallas Cowboys today, hypothetically, is there a team in the National Football League that would sign him to a contract starting at $35 million a year? Now, I understand there's all the guarantees and everything like that, but think about that. Are you really going to give Dak Prescott that kind of money? Now, as far as Amari Cooper, you gave up a first-round pick for him. We all saw the impact that he had on that football team last year. So, is Elliott going to play this year? He's backed himself into a corner, hasn't he? And we know that these negotiations can change in a period of 3, 4, 5 hours. Happens all the time. But you got to believe that if Elliott is not in camp by Monday, he's not playing week one against the Giants. 800-636-8686. All right, so this is my first day in this week. And I know by now it's almost old news. The one aspect of the Andrew Luck retirement that has not been brought up enough, in my opinion, because we heard Rob Gronkowski this week talk about it. What did Gronk say? Physically, I'm good to go. Mentally, there's no way. I can't do it mentally right now. Whether you are in the positive side of Andrew Luck, the negative side, whether you're going to be critical, whether you applaud him for stepping up and retiring, how's a guy going to play quarterback in the NFL if his head's not into it? Forget about the physical aspect. How are you going to go out and do your job if you're not mentally prepared? If mentally you are not able to do the job 100%. That's the aspect that needs to be talked about more. Forget about the physical part of you. I mean, that's his body. He knows better than anybody else. If you're not into it mentally, you can't play. You're going to tell me you're going to go out and play quarterback in the National Football League if you're not 100% committed with your head? It's not happening. So for that reason alone, and here's the second aspect of that. Is Jacoby Brissett going to lead the Colts to the playoffs? Probably not. But they have a really good offensive line. They have a good defense. And oh yeah, by the way, he's taken all the reps with the first team throughout training camp. So that's a positive for the Colts. Anybody think the Colts are going to the Super Bowl this year? I didn't think so. Could they win that division? What's going to happen with Jadeveon Clowney in Houston? Their offensive line is terrible. Are they going to be able to keep Watson upright? What's Foles going to do with Jacksonville? You know, is their defense going to be the defense of 2 years ago after how poorly they played last year? That division to me is so up for grabs, and I haven't even talked about Tennessee. If Jacksonville won the division, would anyone be surprised? If Houston won the division, would anybody be surprised? Tennessee, Indianapolis, what a well-balanced division.
Hey, listen, people will tell you that appearances really don't matter, that first impressions are not a thing. They are. It matters. It matters, and also the briefcase that you carry matters. Let me talk to you about that for a minute. Are you still rocking that old college backpack? Are you taking that to work or around town? If so, it is time to grow up, look the part. Get yourself a Daniels briefcase. Let me tell you about Daniels. Daniels is a New York City-based men's leather briefcase brand that is making boys look like men one bag at a time. And the best part is, you can afford this bag before you land the big job. Here's how. They cut out the middlemen. They sell directly to you. And because of that, they can offer a high-quality, luxury leather briefcase at an incredibly reasonable price of $195. It's comparable to luxury brand names with starting prices close to $500. Right now, you can get $25 off your Daniels briefcase at DanielsNYC.com. Again, DanielsNYC.com, but you have to use the promo code ROME at checkout. That'll get you $25 off one of their leather briefcases, and they offer free shipping. Again, DanielsNYC.com, promo code ROME, $25 off a handcrafted, high-quality leather briefcase with free shipping. DanielsNYC.com, DanielsNYC.com, promo code ROME.
Back with you here in the jungle, Grant Napier. Getting you ready for Labor Day weekend. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the show one of the great voices that we have in our industry. He is in the process of saying goodbye to his family for the next 6 months. He, of course, does the NFL on CBS. He does Monday Night Football on Westwood One. And oh yeah, beginning in the NBA season, you'll see him with the NBA on TNT. It is Kevin Harlan. Kevin, it's great to catch up with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Grant. Great to hear your voice. Reminds me of basketball. Yep. And wishing you and your listeners a very happy holiday weekend coming up. And like you said, yeah, we're kind of all buckling in now for a long stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. You start off with the Bills and the Jets, and you know, everyone thinks the Patriots are automatically going to win the division, and you know, why should this year be any different? But I think you're going to learn a lot early in the season with these two teams. This to me is a very intriguing matchup you have a week from Sunday.
Well, you know, Sam Darnold, the Jets quarterback, as a rookie a year ago, was the highest-rated quarterback by Pro Football Focus in the last month of the season, the last four games. His numbers were as good, if not the best, of anybody, and so he really kind of turned a corner. Of course, that was with a different coach and feel. Now they've got Adam Gase as their head coach, who's an offensive guy who has worked with Peyton Manning, has been a head coach in Miami, now goes to the Jets, and so With the addition of Le'Veon Bell, I think it changes Darnold's life for the better. A great running attack is a quarterback's best friend. Ask Dak Prescott down in Dallas what Elliott means to him and other guys that have had the great running back. Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh when he had Bell. So this is going to make Darnold's life a lot easier. And if what you read is true and what you see and hear is on point, then they're going to give Bell the ball a lot. And they're going to be very creative in the way they handle it. And Darnold will be at the controls.
You know, you talk about Sam Darnold and with Le'Veon Bell, what a circus it's going to be in week two with the Browns coming in on a Monday night game, Odell coming back to New York, albeit the Jets, Baker, Sam, you know what the buildup's going to be for that game. And then the Jets are in New England week three. So they have an early bye right after that New England game. We're going to learn a lot, not only in that Bills game, but these three games to me for Adam Gase and the Jets. You know how the New York fans are. You know what the media is. Boy, if they get off to a bad start, this could be brutal for them.
It could be. I'm lucky enough. I'm going to have a front row seat because I've got the Monday night in the Meadowlands against the Browns. And then we've got that Patriot. Rich Gannon and I have the Patriots and Jets week three up in Foxborough. And you're right. I mean, there's a lot on the line early, kind of some big games. The Bills will be improved in week one, but a home opener with the new feel as they turn the page and begin a chapter in New York with the Jets, you know, it's going to have a great excitement to it. There's a lot riding on some of the acquisitions they've made. The true test will come, you know, as they get into the season. But you're right, the first month is very, very difficult. I just finished doing Green Bay's preseason, and the Packers with a brand new coach who's 39 years old with a Hall of Fame to be quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. They've got five of their first seven at home. So the Jets begin at home two straight weeks. That's a great way for a new staff and a new feel to begin a new season. So both those franchises are pretty lucky the way they're going to start the 2019 season.
You've got the Chargers and the Lions in week two, and I'm curious what your take is now without Derwin James for a good portion of the season and how that's going to, number one, affect their back end and the holdout of Melvin Gordon, because a lot of people thought when camp opened that these Chargers would be right there knocking on the door to maybe get to a Super Bowl.
They'll find ways around it, I'm sure, Grant. You know, the thing is that with Philip Rivers, he always seems to find other outlets. And when he finds those other outlets, it usually works for him. It's a pretty strong team overall. I think personally, again, that Rivers is a better quarterback with a guy like Gordon back there. I mean, it just gives the defense, as we all know, even though the position is underpaid and probably undervalued, that running back just does so much for a quarterback. And there's no doubt that Gordon's presence back there helped what Rivers was trying to do. They think they've got some guys that can at least fill the role, as they do in Dallas without Zeke. So we'll find out how this is going to work along. You know, Stafford is still looking for something in Detroit in the backfield that's going to be anywhere close to kind of relieving some of the pressure. If you've got that good running game, it helps the passing game. They go hand in hand. Every quarterback will admit that. It's just finding that right guy who can wear a lot of different hats. He can pass protect. He can be a three-down running back. He can pass protect. He can go out and get passes, and he can run the ball. And when you've got one, it just makes everything go so much smoother. But with Gordon holding out and Zeke holding out and Bell coming back, I mean, we've got three running backs that right now are in the crosshairs of some of the bigger headlines going into the season.
Kevin Harlan, my guest here on the Jim Rome Show. I want to talk a little basketball for a moment or two. You know, the past 5 years, it's pretty much been a foregone conclusion that the Warriors were going to be in the NBA Finals. And now you see all the movement once again. You know, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Rockets. I think the Jazz are going to be very good, Kevin. And we can start right there. And I'm leaving a couple of teams out. But how much fun, I mean, how wild. We always talk about the wild, wild West. Wow, this is going to be unbelievable this season, isn't it?
A lot of moving parts, aren't there, Grant? You now get good seats to watch some of these games and Westbrook in Houston. And you know, what's Kyrie going to do in the East without Durant for 1 year and trying? And now we hear about Melo trying to make a comeback, and the Nets would like him. And what's Boston going to be like with Kemba Walker? And will Philadelphia be as strong as they were? And how will, you know, Jimmy Butler down in Miami affect now with the Heat are doing? I mean, every place, and of course Milwaukee being as good with the MVP, maybe even better. You know, there are great stories all over the league And you sit and you think about what could be and how an injury can play a role and how new teammates, you know, congeal on the floor and the long, you know, regular season and what it finally develops in terms of rotations. The NBA, to me, has never been more interesting and more compelling because of these off-season moves. I know the league is looking at this, though, as there is a warning flag here. There's something that needs to be noted, and that is that Adam Silver is really studying the process the way it is laid out right now. Surely the headlines that the league gets in the off-season are tremendous. But there is, you know, he wants to make sure that everything is above board here, too, and I agree. I think there's got to be some incredible transparency, some rules that are lived by, and this is going to be something that the NBA, because of this machine that they've created, especially with these players being able to move and the super teams that are now being put together with the Clippers and with the Lakers. I mean, these things have got to really be analyzed to make sure that everything is being dotted and crossed as they go down this path.
Kevin Harlan talking to us about the NFL, the NBA, and, oh yeah, one other thing, because I'm fascinated by how you got started in this business. You know, Kevin, I'm sure you would concur with this. If we had 50 of our colleagues in a room and we all asked them to give their stories about how they started in this business, we'd have 50 different stories. Share with our audience around North America your love for this profession, how early you were when you started practicing, and at what age was it when you said, you know what, that's what I want to do for a living?
Well, the first voice that I ever remember really latching on to, probably like a lot of our listeners, was the voice of NFL Films' John Facenda, because his voice and those pictures from NFL Films just really, to me, were so incredibly captivating, and that's where I got my love of football. And my dad was in professional football with the Packers for 37 years and ran the organization for the last 20 that he was in Green Bay. And I was lucky enough when I was in high school to go to a high school that had a student-run 10-watt radio station, and I joined when I was 14. But even before then, when I was like 11 and 12 years old, would do games off of my television, turn down the sound, and begin to broadcast. Like a lot of guys in this business, you begin early enough, and your love for it shows, and there are stories like that, probably yourself, all over the business that guys have begun so early. And so it's a lot of hard work. I've got a daughter in the business with ESPN, and she went to the University of Georgia and was in journalism. I was in journalism at the University of Kansas, and I was saying the other day to somebody who was asking about my job, I said, it's more like a hobby. It's like this is the kind of stuff that we're lucky enough to do that you would do like on a weekend, like guys getting ready for fantasy drafts right now all over the country. And I think about how lucky we are to be in this business. And there's not a day that goes by or a game that goes by that I don't think about where I began, how much fun I've had, how lucky I've been to be in the business and do these games. When I put on that headset, it is a thrill every time, and it never gets old. It never gets mundane. It always stays so very vibrant in my mind, and I look forward to every broadcast.
And then, Kevin, there were those little trips sneaking in the Lambeau Field and sitting in the broadcast booth where Ray Scott would sit, and you would do an imaginary game, wouldn't you?
Yes. When before the stadium was renovated, I was a ball boy for the Packers when I was 11, 12, and right through high school. And during lunch breaks, I used to sneak out, climb the steps at Lambeau Field, the press box, to show you what kind of safe city Green Bay is. The press box doors were always wide open, and I'd go up to the Packer broadcast booth or the national TV booth and look out onto an empty stadium, empty field, and recreate Fran Tarkenton and the Minnesota Vikings with Chuck Foreman and Ed Marinoa in the backfield and Gilliam as a wide receiver playing the Green Bay Packers on Lambeau Field turf. I just did a game last night. The Chiefs were in for the final preseason game. And I do the Packers preseason, as I said. And when I sit up in that same position and look down on that field, I think about when I was 11, 12, 13 years old, recreating these games. And thankfully, nobody was up there cleaning. No one was in the press box, so I could scream as loud as I wanted to on an imaginary play. So it really was the stuff of dreams. And, you know, it's a wonderful feeling to have some of those dreams come true. And that's really what my career, my blessed career, has been about.
Other than a family member, who's had the biggest impact on your broadcasting career? Did you have a mentor growing up? Who is that one person that you maybe idolized more than anyone else?
Well, my dad was my first mentor and the person I idolized the most. He is my hero. But probably right behind him is a guy that I got associated with when I went to college at the University of Kansas. The broadcaster was Tom Hedrick, and Tom Hedrick was the voice of the Jayhawks. And he was also teaching a class in the journalism department about sportscasting. And I went there to learn under Tom Hedrick. He put me on the Kansas Football Network as a freshman, doing sideline, pregame, halftime, and postgame. I was 18 years old on the statewide Kansas Football Network. I would do stuff locally, and Tom always opened the door. I'd fill him for him on sportscasts locally, and that got me into radio stations in Kansas City, producing the Kansas City Chiefs radio network when I was a sophomore in college. And things really kind of moved from there. But Tom Hedrick was the first radio voice on CBS Radio of Super Bowl I and Super Bowl III and IV. So he's got a very historic place in this business. And luckily enough, he took an interest in me as a young broadcaster, and so his impact on me has been invaluable, obviously.
That is incredible. Kevin, safe travels. I'm sure that our paths will cross during the NBA
I hope so.
Season. Be well, my friend.
Thank you, Grant. Have a nice holiday weekend. Thank you for having me on. Always great to talk.
Sign up and be an O Rewards member today and earn 1 point for every dollar spent. Receive your rewards twice as fast and on the go when you provide your email address. O Rewards members get $5 back for every $150 they spend. It's fast, it's easy, it's free, and it's only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store or orewards.com for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
Always great to be in the jungle. Jim will be back after the holiday. This program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If you want to get in on the program, 800-636-8686. That's 800-636-8686. We're going to talk college football here in a couple of moments with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. Plus the NFL, and he's actually with us right now. Chris, it's always good to talk to you. I hope you're getting ready for a busy football season, and thanks for coming on the Jim Rome Show.
Oh, it's always good to talk with you. Yes, I am ready for a lot of football starting now.
Yeah, absolutely.
The clock has started, my man.
Yeah, and tomorrow's a big game. I'm just curious with this Oregon-Auburn matchup. The game for Oregon, we get it, but how about for the Pac-12 to restore some of the credibility? How big of a game is this for the conference?
It's huge. Think about it. If Oregon's able to win it, and let's just say they go 11-1, just for example, they lose a game, that game will carry some weight. But if they lose to Auburn and then go unbeaten the rest of the way and go 11-1, you'll still have that, okay, because Auburn may end up being the fourth-best team in the SEC, third, fourth, fifth. We don't know. The season will determine that. But I think it will mean an awful lot for the league in addition to Auburn. They just have not had the type of success. And it doesn't help that UCLA goes down to Cincinnati. And quite frankly, they could play Cincinnati five more times. They'd still lose four out of five times to Cincinnati, a group of five team. And then Arizona losing to Hawaii. That's not really good. Utah was able to get a win, Arizona State last night. But I think the Pac-12 needs it. Oregon needs it from a national perspective.
All right, when you look at the matchups of this game tomorrow, Auburn starting a true freshman at quarterback, the offensive line of Oregon against that defensive front of Auburn, is that the key?
Well, that is the big matchup. That's strength versus strength. Really good offensive line, as you mentioned. One of the best defensive lines in the country that Auburn has. I don't know that they cancel each other out, but I think the matchup that's going to determine the outcome is the other side. Auburn's offensive line against Oregon's defensive front. This is the key to watch. If Oregon, because you've got to stop the run of Auburn, that's what Auburn wants to do. Their offense is running through the run game. If Oregon can defend the run with seven, maybe seven and a half in the box, then they can play coverage effectively. If Oregon has to play eight-man fronts, maybe even cheat an extra guy, 8.5 in the box, then I think Auburn's got real opportunities to make some plays against Oregon's secondary. So to me, that's what's going to determine it, is how effective they can be in that aspect. Look, it's the Oregon offense runs through the quarterback, Justin Herbert. But Auburn, with a freshman quarterback, he's not going to be asked to win the game. It's going to be the defense. It's going to be the run game. So while the big edge experience-wise goes to Herbert and Oregon, well, he's going to have to be the reason why they win. It's not going to have to be the reason why Auburn wins. So Auburn's got a little bit more talent overall, but I think Oregon's got a shot. And again, though, from national perspective, you know, particularly if they lose to Auburn, which, again, may be fourth, fifth best in the SEC, we'll see, and lose to a freshman quarterback, that just won't look good, even though it's a lot tougher than it might think, just national perspective. Grant, you know this. Everybody wants to just kick the Pac-12 to the curb, like they just want to knock it into the Pacific Ocean. I think the conference is better than people give it credit for. But the lack of an elite team has hurt them. The Pac-12 is better than the ACC once you take out Clemson, but Clemson rises the entire league and the perception of the league. So I do think this game is going to mean a lot, and it's going to be a lot of pressure on Oregon.
If Alabama and Clemson, by most people's accounts, are the two best teams in college football, who do you see as the team that would be the biggest challenge to them? Who, in your mind, is the third best team in college football, or is it even too early to tell?
Well, it is too early, but going in, just from a roster standpoint, it's Georgia. I mean, Georgia's played Alabama very well and well enough to win. They haven't done it. They are on a par with Clemson, and I think this year's team could be as good, if not better, than those two. We'll see, but I think that's where the gap is. I think we're going to have to see if there's a fourth team, a fifth team, a sixth team that emerges as a national, you know, playoff, a national championship caliber team. Look, we know there's four spots, so somebody's getting into it. Let's just say Alabama and Georgia both get in. Well, you still have a spot. We just talked Pac-12. Is it Ohio State? Is it Michigan? Is it Oklahoma? Is it Texas? I mean, I think there are other teams that are pretty good, but when I look at it, I see three teams, I see a clear line, and then I see about eight teams that are contenders for maybe that fourth spot, if you will.
All right, let's talk some NFL football with Chris Landry and the holdout with Ezekiel Elliott. Your experience being in NFL front offices, these things can get rectified real quickly, can they not? Although this looks like it's going to loom through at least week one. Your thoughts?
Well, listen, I mean, that's the thing about it. You know, people think, oh, boy, they're not getting anywhere. It's one phone conversation, and within an hour, the deal can get done. But it only gets done when there's movement. When there's movement off of the proposals. So, look, at some point, I don't want to say somebody's going to blink, but somebody's going to get the leverage. And so let's just make the assumption, okay, the first leverage is the season is starting really soon. So there's going to be a little bit of a run to get the deal done this weekend, you know, and it may or may not get done. If it is not done, then we'll see. Let's remind folks several years ago, remember when Emmett had his holdout? And remember what happened? It was kind of the same thing. The Cowboys went 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4. Remember they lost to Buffalo? And then Emmett got his deal because it almost the season was slipping away. I think it's a game of chicken, and I think if the Cowboys have early success, leverage advantage to the Cowboys. Cowboys drop a couple in danger of, you know, outside pressure that, okay, the season's slipping away. If it gets into the season and there's no deal, then the leverage goes to Zeke and his agent. So, listen, it'll get done. I can't tell you, you know, when, but it'll get done at some point, I would suspect.
You know, you talk about leverage, and I think in this case, the Cowboys get more leverage because their first three games are relatively easy. The Giants' defense is terrible. They're at Washington week two, good defense, bad offense. Then they're at home against Miami week three. And again, I'm maybe looking too far ahead, but I could see the Cowboys winning all three games without Elliott. And if that would unfold that way, then all the leverage is with the Dallas Cowboys front office and ownership, correct?
It is. But as you know, then after that, if it goes to 3-1, 3-2, 3-3, and the season goes away, you know how that plays out. But, I agree with you. Look, they're playing it coy. They're playing it cool. Look, we got, Pollard's good back. And, the whole, Zeke, all the kidding of that. We know that it's the nerves are raw. And so you're going to get some comments, and Jerry can't help himself. So, listen, I think that it's going to play out. I mean, it's going to play out like everything plays out with the Cowboys in the public eye, isn't it? So it'll be interesting. I don't know that it's fun to follow, but it'll be interesting, because I do think that for the Cowboys to go where they need to be, that they're not doing it without Zeke, because this offense is not built around the quarterback in the passing game. It's built around the run game, and that not only fuels the passing game, it really fuels their defense. So if that running game is not really effective, then you're going to see that spark quite a bit, and it could be a wasted year for the Cowboys. But, again, I think an early start would certainly kind of, help things a little bit if they're able to win without him.
Chris, one thing you've done your whole career and still do is evaluate players and talent and try to project how good they may be at the next level. Leading up to the draft, you and I had many conversations about the quarterback, and it was Murray and it was Haskins, and we really didn't spend a lot of time on Daniel Jones. Two-part question here. How do you evaluate quarterbacks during the preseason? And number two, if you're just going by the eyeball test, Daniel Jones looked better than anyone, didn't he?
He did. What I look for, and it's tougher because they're playing without a lot of rhythm in preseason in spots. What I look for, and this is why quarterbacks are maybe difficult from the outside to figure out, is it's the decision-making. The poise, the decision-making, seeing the field. What it really comes down to from a quarterback standpoint, knowing where to go with the football and to get it there accurately. And Daniel Jones does those things very well. And we had the conversation, you're right after, that, listen, I believe in Dave Gettleman. I really see what Dave saw in Daniel Jones. And for all the criticism, I wonder how many of the media types will give him credit if it does work out. Which, look, it takes about 3 years to really know, but everybody's going to judge it on a game-by-game basis. This guy is really talented. I think he's going to be the future in a good quarterback for the Giants going forward. But like anything else, it's about the talent you put around him. He's far ahead in terms of seeing the field and understanding the game, let's say, of a Haskins, who has more physical skills and I think will be good in his own right. Murray's a little bit of a different dynamic in that it is more of a scheme-specific mode, and that is going to be a boom or bust situation, which I think it's going to work pretty well early. But I don't know if it's going to be sustainable, because I don't know if that young man can make enough plays from the pocket to consistently win going forward. I some people see him as a shorter version of a Patrick Mahomes. I'm not quite sure I'm on board with that yet, but I do recognize what he can do, and the guy's a competitor, and he can fling it. I can say that. He can absolutely fling it from all different platforms, but you're going to really limit what you can do in the running game, and I'm curious to see what Kingsbury's going to do to try to develop that part of it. Because being completely shotgun or 90% shotgun, it's tough in this league to do that just that way and have a consistent running game.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, my guest here on the Jim Rome Show. A couple of years ago, we saw Calvin Johnson say that's enough. He was in his prime. On Saturday, Andrew Luck, 29 years of age, said he had enough. And then 2 days later, we hear Rob Gronkowski talk about that health, his health right now, he could play, but mentally he couldn't play. So with the money the way it is now in the NFL, are we looking at the start of, I don't want to say a trend, but do you think this will become more of a common occurrence than it's ever been?
Oh, I think so. I think, and listen, this is not the topic. Let's give credit to all of those guys. Let's go back to Calvin. Let's go back to Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
And let's say, at least they protected their money. I mean, we know it's not about what you make, it's what you save. And you've been around the NBA, and there's big stories about how many of those guys go broke. And
sure,
that is beyond belief. But, the money can change things. When you can walk away with $97 to $100 million in the bank, and you're an Andrew Luck, and you're a deep thinker and there are other things that interest you in life, you don't have to work. You can do whatever you want to do. Well-read individual that likes to study things like the French Revolution and doesn't watch TV, and if, you know, you can go and visit all those places. And I, you know, assuming that's what he wants to do, you could do that. You couldn't do that back in the day. And you know what? You can't do that in today's world if you're spending money as fast as you're making it, because a lot of guys go broke even though they make, you know, millions and millions of dollars. So I think that certain guys are in a position to walk away if they want to. And for all the goofiness of Gronk, I am told, my friends in the Patriots, that guy, kind of like Shaq did, he took all of the money that he made playing basketball, in this case football, and he saved that. And wow, he lived off of the endorsement type of stuff. So he was able to live, they're all able to live a king's life while still having a lot of riches to be able to say, you know what, I can sustain that lifestyle. Not many can, because not many know how to protect their money. But I do think it's a trend for the guys that say, you know what, in addition to everything that the money brings to you, there's more and more awareness about guys and their health and what happens to them when they're 40, 45 years old. I think that combination is going to lead to more of this. I do.
Chris, final thing for you. In a lot of our conversations, when we talk about struggling teams in the NFL, you always go right to the offensive line. That gets me to the Cleveland Browns. Is their offensive line good enough for that team to have success?
I think it's decent. It's not special. I think that they're going to have to rely on spreading people out a little bit so that they can get better numbers in the run game, so that they can run it effectively. But I think they're going to have to run it, you know, out of three wide sets more than anything, Grant. Look, I think the Browns, that is one area that would concern me on offense. I think everything else is, they've got a lot of things clicking for them. But listen, I think the Browns are good. I still think that the Steelers are the team to beat in the division. But I think the Browns, if the Steelers come back to the pack a little bit, then they could win the division, but they're likely a wild card team, or at least a contender for that. But the offensive line is not as good as it used to be. The one area that was strong for them when they didn't have a quarterback and didn't have much of a defense, now they've got a pretty good defense. They can get after you. They've got weapons on offense, and obviously they're excited about their quarterback. But without consistent offensive line play, there's a limit. There's a ceiling to how far they can go, and it's not deep into the playoffs of the Super Bowl, not yet.
Chris, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Grant. Take care.
Hey, this Sunday, the stakes are high, starting with the finals of the 2019 Tachi Palace World's Strongest Man, presented by Rogue, followed by Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing. Then it's off to L.A., where one team puts their stamp on the season and raises the trophy at the Big Three Basketball Championship, only on CBS. Hey, if you're a fan of the New England Patriots, you would have to take today's news that the Patriots acquired Russell Bodine from the Bills. He's a center for a 6th-round pick, as news that they are not expecting David Andrews to play this year. We talked about, you know, his issues, what, blood clots in the lung, and that's bad news for anyone. But if you're looking at this from a team perspective, a center is such a key aspect of that offensive line. Be interesting to see how that affects the New England Patriots. All right, something I was talking about in hour number one, because I'd love to get a little feedback here at 800-636-8686. Do we in this country, when it's a non-Olympic year, because I go back to Team USA and all of the players that have backed out, they only had to make, what, 2 cuts this year? Because so many players backed out either before Vegas or after Vegas. Is, you know, basketball is huge in this country. The NBA is gigantic. But I don't get the impression that anyone really cares about this World Cup coming up in Shanghai. Non-Olympic year. The United States' best players are not playing. And it's just like, hey, it's football season. Now, if this event had been in August, would it have made a difference? I don't think so. I just think we are so caught up in the United States that every 4 years, we've got the Olympics. And every 4 years, we're going to watch sports that we never watch. You know, you look at track and field, it's huge in different areas of the world. It's only big here in an Olympic year. What's the one event that everybody can't wait to watch in the Olympics? The 100-meter dash, right? Usain Bolt, or who's the fastest guy in the world? Do you watch any of that in non-Olympic years? No, you don't. I got to tell you, I'm not sitting there looking at my TV guide to see when the U.S. national track and field trials are. You know? Wake me up when the Olympics come. Who's getting the gold medal? Same thing in swimming. Do you watch swimming in a non-Olympic year? You watching Michael Phelps before the Olympics? You know, swimming over in Zurich, Switzerland? No. You watching gymnastics in non-Olympic years? But when the Olympics come, everyone's caught up in the gymnastics and how great the women's team has been. We all watch it, right? Probably couldn't name more than one or two athletes that are on any of those teams. But when the Olympics are coming at you, you can't miss it. You watch it. All right, let's get to Sam calling from New York on the Jim Rome Show. Sam, thanks for stepping into the jungle with me. What can I do for you?
Hey, Grant, appreciate the time as always. I think it's a travesty, it's sacrilegious, it's blasphemous that the three-time Olympic gold medal winning 19th leading scorer in NBA history, Carmelo Anthony, has been banished from this team. I cannot believe that Jerry Colangelo and that crew can't realize the greatness, the stupendous, the scoring machine ability, the FIBA-dominating small forward that is Carmelo Anthony. How dare Team USA, which has been fraudulent ever since 96, how dare they insult, again, the 19th leading scorer.
You know what's great for you, Sam? You're calling from New York, right, Sam? You might see Carmelo Anthony because his buddies are luring him to go play for the Brooklyn Nets so he can screw up that team too, Sam. You'll be able to watch him real close to where you live. You can go watch a guy that can't play anymore, that nobody in the NBA wants, that the United States doesn't want. Jerry Colangelo said, I asked Jerry Colangelo on my show 2 weeks ago about Carmelo Anthony. That's what he said. Didn't have a place for him. Come on, Sam, wake up. But you go watch him play if he ends up in Brooklyn. Watch him screw up that team, too. Classic. What would be a show here in the jungle, filling in for Jim, without Sam talking about Carmelo Anthony? What's it been, 2 years I've been taking phone calls from Sam, wanting to know where Carmelo Anthony is? I'll tell you where he is. He's at the YMCA playing pickup games. That's where he is. Let's get to Matt in L.A. Uh-oh, I got my seatbelt fastened for Matt. Matt, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Carmelo Anthony, where he should be on his couch. From Sacktown to the Buddha Sack that Boogie Cousins bogarted from Lewin Sacktown. From the five boroughs to Bora Bora. You're welcome. The Matt in L.A. montage, Grant Napier, and the CBS Sports Net is worldwide on the set getting your Labor Day sports weekend fired up. Like Jeff and Richmond's cauldron of muskrat stew or squirrel mulligan. Regarding this USA basketball team, Grant, I mean, you and I know Jerry Colangelo is a respected man, but I think it's a Colangelo thing. They may be mistaking old Jerry for Bri Colangelo and his seven burner accounts on Twitter that hype him up like Flavor Flav introducing Chuck D back in the day. So let's hope that USA Hoops can at least bring home a respectable showing this year, because I don't know, man, a gold looks like it's going to be a hard task, to say the least. Hey, wore the Eye of the Hawk and Sandy Duncan, wore Jim Plunkett and Tom Flores for the NFL Hall of Fame. Thank you once again, Grant, for spelling the pimp in the box. Outro.
Sam, followed by Matt. My weekend is complete. The holiday is upon us. It's football season.
It's a brand new season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is a member of the Jets. Odell Beckham is in C-Town. Andrew Luck is retired. But the one thing that has not changed is where I'm putting my money down for all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie's got better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. And this year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least 100 grand, and it only costs 100 bucks to enter. All you have to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. You want to move on this thing right now. Get up to a $1,000 first deposit bonus and double your first deposit. Use the promo code ROME, R-O-M-E, to activate that offer. That's an amazing offer. Use the promo code ROME to activate. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E. Do not forget to use the promo code ROME when you create your account and get your bonus. Bet, win, get paid.
Good night now!